Hello and welcome back to We Are In Podcast, where we strive to create a safe space for honest mental health discussions and encourage women to embrace their unique journeys. We're your hosts, Erica.
And this is Destiny.
So today we have Imani Aisha joining us. She's a wife, mother, and a marriage coach. She is the author of What Your Mom Didn't Tell You About Marriage. And she also has a limited series on Facebook Watch called The Sauce, which I really highly recommend watching. Today, she's going to talk to us about her path of being a marriage coach and give us some tips to those who are already married or those who are looking for marriage in the future. So welcome to the show, Imani.
Hey, thank you so much. Hey, Erica, Destiny, I'm excited to be here. I know everybody says that, but for real, I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we love when we talked earlier a few weeks ago, and we just really love your energy, and we really know that there's listeners out there that would learn a lot from you. Thank so we're happy you. To have you. Talk to us about how you got to being a marriage coach.
Yeah. So, you know, Google really helped with that. And pregnancy was a combination. It's a 1-2 combo because I was in a completely different industry. I was an professor. I was an college instructor, teaching college freshmen, English literature and composition and rhetoric. And my background is in English literature because I was an English major. And professional writing and creative writing. And so that's what I was doing. And I loved it. I loved being in the classroom. I loved all of, you know, teaching my students and just having that autonomy when I shut my classroom door. But I still worked within a certain system that I was like, I don't know if I want to be in this system, you know? Yeah. So then I got pregnant. And then, you know, through the nesting, I'm kind of like, what do I want to do with my life? You know, I'm contemplating life. And so I'm like, what other skills do I have? So I'm like Googling like Pilates instructor and, you know, careers, if you like yoga. I don't know.
I have done these. Have you done these? I'm like, what would I be good at?
Right. Because, you know.
I feel you. I felt it in my spirit.
We don't know all the things, right, that are out there that we can do, right? There's teacher, fireman, yeah. We're young. So, yes, it feels good. No one has ever said that to me, that someone else kind of did this too.
Oh, for sure. I was like, should I be a yoga instructor? I'm like, not that flexible, but I can make it work.
Right. Like, that sounds good, right? And in my Google search, I came to coaching. And I was like, okay, what's this? You know what I'm saying? And then I dove more into it and started reading about it. And I was like, oh, I fell in love with this idea. And then I went to get certified as like a life coach and a relationship coach because I was such an academic at the time that I was like, this is what I must do, you know, to be able to be a coach. And so I did that. And I just started coaching. And I knew that it was going to be relationships because even as a writer, I talked about and wrote about relationships. And just not just romantic, but just I knew that was a thing because to me, relationships are the cornerstone of kind of how we move through this world with ourselves and with others. So that's how I came to it. That's how I came here.
And you enjoy it? You love it so far?
Yes, I do.
Good. I'm glad that you were able to find something that you really feel passionate about and that you were able to know that I don't belong in the space that I'm in this particular moment because not everybody is able to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's true.
Can you talk to us about how do you feel like the way that you coach people throughout their marriage is different or unique?
I feel like when you're the person you are is different and unique than anybody else, right? And so there's really nothing new under the sun, just keeping it real, right? You're going to hear things about communication being key and how to create intimacy. This is not like I've invented a whole, you know, concept. But the way that I deliver it is the way that I would deliver it, right? I'm a Bronx girl. I'm from New York. I'm about being honest about what it looks like to be in a relationship. I've been with my husband for 16 years. We're going to celebrate on Monday being married for 13 years. We've had 2 children. We've had our ups and downs. Thank you. Yes.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah. That's a real wow too. Yeah. Like it kind of the staccato, like wow.
I know. Like, you mean that. I'm not in a relationship. I'm like, 13 like, years.
Yes, a long time, girl. You just snatched
me. Maybe Wednesday.
Snatched up with 20s. But But I bring a certain, I bring all myself to it. So I bring that realness. I bring a certain creativity. I don't think that, you know, certain learning, if I do workshops and master classes, they have to be boring. I do a lot of gameplay with adult learning and just ways that we can really be interested so we can delve in and not be too scared to be intentional about our marriage and about our relationship. And so, and I've been told I'm easy to talk to. So it's my personality. So if we talk and we click, then we can probably work together if it feels like a good fit, right? But
yeah,
that's based upon who I am as a person. I think that's what I bring to it. And the framework that I've created is unique to me. The frameworks that I know work for myself and my marriage, work for the couples that have been able to save their marriages and move on in their relationships and come together and start to feel good again about their relationships. So, you know, everybody brings their unique sauce to the table, and that's my unique sauce.
Nice. I can vouch that you're, we can both vouch that you're easy to talk to.
Yes.
Just from having one prior conversation, we were having a good old time. And then also, I think a lot of times people think, well, other people are already doing that. I don't want to get into that field. That field is oversaturated. Yeah. But it is about who you are and the fact that you are unique. And I may receive marriage advice more from you than someone else who's teaching it in a different way that it doesn't resonate with me. So I like the fact that you said
yes,
that.
Very true. Right. Very true.
And I think you highlighting the intimacy part too, like getting to having that one-on-one conversation versus like just looking up on YouTube and saying like marriage advice. Yes. It's a different experience. So
yes,
I definitely agree with that.
Yes, that's what we want to do. We want to go to Google for everything, but Google doesn't know.
Right.
I definitely have been in relationships like, what do I do if my boyfriend says this?
Right.
Reddit threads. Oh man, those are my best. Because you don't want to ask your friends because maybe you're a little embarrassed, but Reddit.
Wow, the Reddit.
Now I can call
the
you
the Quoras. I can't, but yeah, I hear you.
So we want to provide, you know, that value to our listeners, and we know you have so much valuable information. As we mentioned, are on Facebook, and you post a lot of things on Instagram with just your thoughts and how you can help people in marriage. So we've combed through, and we have a few things that we want you to elaborate, if you don't mind.
Of course, go shoot.
If you could talk us through a few things, okay. So you said that it is okay to go to bed angry. Now, this is controversial because I always hear that you should not go to bed angry with your partner. So tell us, what are your thoughts? Why do you think
this? Yes, it is controversial because, like you said, we've all heard that. And I remember hearing it from, like, older couples. They've been married for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so I get it. It's like, what are you talking about? But here's the thing. The reality of it is that if you're in a situation where you're having a disagreement, and let me, you know, y'all think about if you've ever been in this situation, listeners. Mm-hmm. But if you've ever been in a situation where you're having a disagreement, it's late, maybe you're tired, maybe you're hungry, you feel like you're talking in circles, you feel like you're not getting anywhere, and it's time for bed. Mm-hmm. Like, is it really in the best interest to push the envelope and to continue to try to find resolution that you are obviously not finding right now? Or is it better to just take a beat, take a pause, sleep on it, see if you can get some perspective in the morning to actually get to resolution, right? Because I have seen couples who are like, we can never go to bed angry. We have to figure this out right now. And there's kind of this, right, like there's eagerness to fix it right now. And sometimes you need to pause. So some people push when they need to pause and go to sleep on it and get some perspective, right? So that's really where I'm coming from with that, if that makes sense. If y'all know, if you've ever been in those situations where it feels like it's going nowhere and you have a headache and you probably pushed past where you should have pushed, you might need to pause.
And it gets worse.
Yes.
Because you keep going and then now you're fighting, like actually, you know, getting more aggravated. And so when people are really against it, do you get them to try it? Have you ever been successful at having them try it? And they say, wow, that really worked. That helped.
Oh, yeah. Because folks, I mean, and myself included, right? It's a lot of unlearning the things that we learned in like our favorite R&B songs and just like on the streets about relationships. And I, you know, they've absolutely been like, oh, I can do that. It's almost like, oh, we can take this pause and it feels better than what I've been doing. We've really been pushing the envelope a lot with our relationship based upon things we think we should be doing instead of looking at our marriage and be like, well, how do we design this relationship so that it actually works for us? And so once we start to do that, every relationship is different. It's not cookie cutter. I'm like, oh, snap. You know, I actually do like this person that I thought I couldn't stand. Or like, we actually can have a conversation. We actually can get to a resolution. We actually can figure it out, even though we communicate super differently, right? And that seemed like it was an obstacle. So for sure, it's definitely been something that has worked and has been a major shift for a lot of couples, including myself.
Yeah, I agree with it. I definitely need a break at the end of the night when it's not going anywhere because there's nothing else you can say. And sometimes both people are just repeating themselves. So you're just getting nowhere.
Yeah, and sometimes you forget like what the argument was about even at the first place. Like, wait, what was I about? Well, how did this argument even start?
Right. It's been 3 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, we're going to bring that into our next relationship. We're going to keep that. Okay, so the next thing is that you've talked about you can't share everything with people outside of your relationship.
Yeah.
So this one's interesting because you can't go and tell your friends about every fight that you have and just talk to them about every single thing. And sometimes that's hard when we have our best friends that we want to share. Like, he said this to me the other day. And I've had friends, too, that once they got married, they stopped telling me things because they said, well, I think this is private, which I totally respect. So can you talk more about that?
Yeah. You and Erica looking at each other. I'm like, y'all know y'all have had those conversations. You're like, girl.
Girl, you know, he told me yesterday. Immediately, the thumbs are going like this.
I mean, and we live for that, right? There's a harmony, right? I try not to use balance because that makes us feel like the scales have to be even. So I like harmony because harmonies work together. There's a harmony, I think, between what you share with somebody that's close to you, family member, friends, and what you keep to yourself. And you kind of have to discern what makes sense. And you have to know who you have with you, right? Because sometimes that wonderful friend or family member that loves you and has your best interests, hopefully, at heart, they may be dealing with stuff from their own relationships, from their own stuff, from their own past. They're coming from their experiences, their perspective, right? Like, girl, you should just leave. I don't know what, you know what I mean? They might, and you don't want to leave, you know what I mean? You're trying to work things out. They're like, from my experience, that never works out. You know, like, and they're not trying to be harmful. They're trying to be helpful, but it's from their experience. And so it's not necessarily helpful to you in your unique situation. And some people find this is real talk, that like they only tell their friends and family when things are left. So now their friends and family have a very specific idea of who and what that person is about. So all the negative stuff, like, you never told me that he was like actually buying you gifts, or she was actually, you know, listening to you, you were always telling me the negative stuff. So the picture I have in my mind is like, why are you even with this person? So we don't always share with that sense of like both looking at both sides too, you know? So those kind of things can get convoluted. And if you're having issues and you really haven't been able to work them out, it's nice to have the listening ear, but is that going to be the thing that's really the most helpful for you? And you have to be honest with yourself, but like, it might be time to not just rely on friends and family for all my relationship advice. But we're going to talk to the people that we care about. But you have to be discerning, I think, of like what you share, what you keep private, and who you're talking to.
How do you personally draw the line? Are there certain things that you say, I'm definitely not talking about this, but I will let people in on this?
Yeah. That's a great question. I'm trying to actually think of friends, like conversations that I have with usually near my married girlfriends. Usually they share a lot with me and I'll say, yeah, you know, I have that happen too. You know what I mean? And one of the things that I do is I share specifically from my perspective. So what I try not to do is speak for my husband, and I'll say, you know, yeah, I struggled with, you know, this, I struggled with that, and give kind of a clear picture. Like, yeah, he said that, but I probably should have done X, you know, I just didn't do it like I should have done it. And just be honest about the situation. I don't share a whole lot. Like, I don't go to people and be like, I'm really struggling with this, you know, in my marriage and ex. I talk it out with my man. So we're the ones that are kind of in the trenches with it.
You're involved.
Yeah, as opposed to me going to someone else to help me with something in-house. But sharing shared experiences, I think that's the lot. Like, I will have shared experiences with other friends of mine who are married. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So your spouse puts the socks all over the floor too? Like, why? Why are we doing that? You know what I mean? Like, why do you need 15 cups? Just wash one cup. You know what I mean? And we're good. And he has his pet peeves about me too. And I'm clear about that. And so things that aren't going to tip the scales for me in my own relationship, those are the things I handle in-house. Shared experiences, I'm more likely to talk about, you know, in group experience. That makes sense.
That does make sense. And it's a good point that if you don't feel like you can tell your spouse or partner the issues that are going on, that's probably why, you know, now that I think about it, why you are venting to other people.
Yeah. Right.
Like, they're not listening to me. Yeah. I need you to listen to me now.
Yeah, that's your safe space. Yeah. You're like, Erica's my safe space.
Exactly.
This is my safe space. Yeah. Right.
When that person should be your safe
space. Absolutely.
Safe space to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I will say to the other side of that, we're talking in the assumption that these are pretty, you know, decent couples, that both people are, you know, you're in a healthy relationship. But I have also been in some toxic relationships where I didn't feel safe sharing things with my friends. So I think if you're in that space, you do have to think, why don't I want to tell my friend that he said this to me the other night? Like, mm-hmm. I should really think about that, because that's not okay.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you start to get into some shame, you know what I mean? Possibly mm-hmm. around that. Mm-hmm. And if there's shame around the relationship, it's still time to reevaluate the relationship in house, right? And, you know, which you're saying is like, is this really the person for me? You know, and is this serving me? Is this something that can be worked out, or that I even want to work it out? Because you're talking more about like a, you know, inner relationship, or even in your marriage, you have to ask yourself some of the same difficult questions.
Yeah. And so another thing is that we saw, or on your Instagram page, is apology is not the same as accountability, which I resonated with that, because in my last relationship, he would apologize for whatever the argument was, and he would, you know, be extra nice the next few days or next few weeks, and then 2 months, 3 months later, we had the same argument again. So what is like your advice for those who are listening, how to navigate that?
Yeah, that's real, Erica. And I love you guys are just combing through my social media like, girl,
we're like, okay, we don't have to make you think about it. Like, we want to, these are the questions we
have.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at it. Like,
help me.
I love that. And thank you, Erica. I'm glad that you shared your experience. I know other people have had that experience, and I'm nodding like, yeah, I've heard that a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you said you're sorry, and now what? Like, there were those situations, you know, where you're like, I don't even want to hear your sorry. I don't care about your sorry. You can keep your sorry. You know, like, you get to that point because right. you've heard it so much. And we're conditioned to apologize and feel like magically that makes everything better.
Everything's okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. What are you apologizing mm-hmm. for?
Right.
Do you know? Because if you don't know, that's, you know, that's problem number one. And so, and this is for the partner, this is for us. So when I say that, and this is back to like the real of like the sorries, you can keep your sorries if things aren't shifting, is when you're apologizing for someone, that the accountability piece is, okay, I apologize for X. I realize this is what happened. You're acknowledging whatever happened, you know, and how the impact that it had. And then you're like, well, next time I'm going to do this. And for someone listening, I'm like, oh, that sounds like a lot. I can do it. You know, you can do that in less than 15 seconds. You know what? When I snapped at you, when you came to the kitchen, it wasn't even about you. I was stressed. I apologize. That was uncalled for. I shouldn't have snapped at you at all. Next time I'm going to take a pause, or I'm going to let you know, look, I just need a break to just reset before I answer you. And then I'm going to come back to answer the question. Boom. I've said what it is that I did. I've acknowledged it. I've taken, you know, responsibility for my actions, acknowledged that it wasn't right to you. And then this is what I plan to do next time and differently, not only so that I can hold myself accountable, but so that you can hold yourself accountable, as hold me accountable as well. Like, hold on, you said next time you are going to pause or let me know X, Y. You know what? You're right. And that's that level of like maturity and elevation that sometimes makes us uncomfortable because we don't want to take accountability for our stuff. And that just doesn't work in a relationship, right? So be that change, right? So yeah, you want it from your partner. Like, ooh, don't send this to your partner and be like, this is how you need to apologize to me. Be the example and you do it too. You know what I mean? So they're like, it's not just on me. This is a thing that we're doing for for both of us. But yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That makes sense. So the accountability is really you following all the way through to the next time it happens. It doesn't just stop with a sorry, which, yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah, do. I'm sorry, girl.
The sorry is it.
Yeah. For what?
Okay. You want them to tell you for what, why, how, when, where, and how you're going to be better.
Yes, and I'm going to do the same thing. Like, what am I, sorry is, that phrase doesn't mean anything if it's nothing behind it, right? Because, you know what I mean? And there are people that use it just to avoid anything like, oh, okay, yep, I'm sorry. You're right, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that doesn't actually solve anything. And the truth is, it'll come up again. Like you said, Erica, it'll come up again. However, now hopefully it comes up and you have tools to anchor you to handle it, as opposed to it coming up, you saying, I'm sorry, and then coming up again in the same way, you saying, I'm sorry, and then you get into a pattern, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And it makes me think, too, because I'm always relating things back to being a parent. When I'm raising my son to tell, don't just say sorry, but next time don't do it again. Because it's learned from when you're a child that, okay, I can just say this word and I'm good.
No, it's right. True. As a mama, same thing. I actually work, one of my colleagues, I work with her in her program. I'm a co-coach and she's a parent coach. And she talks about how to teach your children how to make effective apologies. And it's very similar. It's basically the same. You know what I mean? Our children learn how to handle conflict because it's, you know, it's a dirty word to us, but not to them. They teach it on Sesame Street. You know what I mean? Right. Like how to handle conflict. Right. So yeah, our children pouring into them these same kinds of awareness, the same kind of awareness around apologies and responsibility and accountability and consideration. It will, once they're adults, we won't have to unlearn so much.
We have to talk about it after you've already been just saying sorry for 30 years. You know, you learned it at 5. So that's great. And I see some things where people say, oh, I don't make my kids say sorry. But I think it's a good practice because then you get used to at least kind of feeling like that empathy, oh, I've done something to someone else, let me apologize. But making sure, like you said, adding the accountability.
Right.
As much as you can for their age.
Right. Know. I mean, you're 4 minus 2. But I have an 8-year-old going on 9. And, you know, even if you don't say the words, I'm sorry, or you say, I apologize, it's more the responsibility part. Like I will say for her, what are you apologizing for? You know, and not enemy, but just like, do you know, do you understand the impact? Well, I didn't, you know, even if you didn't mean to, right? So people are like, well, I didn't mean to do that. Adults too. I didn't mean to.
Right. They think about, that wasn't my intent. Right. Okay, but how did it make me feel?
Right.
Boom.
All the
Boom.
Time.
Boom. Like, there's intention and then there's impact. Right? And the impact was, if I didn't intend to hit you in the face when I turned around, your face is still hit.
Right.
Still hit me.
Right. I mean, you're an injured party still, despite the fact that it wasn't my intention to hit you. And so just keep that in mind when you're thinking like, well, I didn't mean to do something. However, your partner was still hurt in some kind of way, affected in some kind of way. And so you can still take responsibility for the effect, or it's just a situation where you need to be considerate or compassionate in that moment and not dismissive, right? And so those are kind of things we can keep in mind when we're dealing with adults, you know what I mean? We deal with the kids, but we're dealing with adults. What is it about the kids? Yes, because kids are, they're like flexible now. You know, grown-ups, we've been through some things. We have some history and some stuff that we bring along with us. So it can be more challenging to break through sometimes.
One of our past episodes on the podcast, I discussed my last relationship, him being from a Muslim background and then me being from a Christian Catholic background. Have you ever interacted with couples that kind of had that religion conflict, and did any of them say like it's not working and we should separate, or did they work through it? Do you have any experience with that?
Yeah, personally. And
I got a lot.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Erica. Okay, Erica, bring in the past episodes with that's a really good one because differences are going to happen in the relationship. Different upbringings and different ways, different perspectives you have in religion and the spirituality are one of those. I'm Muslim. I grew up Muslim. My husband grew up with a Christian background, and now he would say he's more spiritual than prescribing to any organized religion. And so some people would call that, especially in Christianity, kind of being unequally yoked, right?
Right. Yeah, I heard that.
And so you kind of have to explore what that looks like and what that means for you, because it can be challenging, and it's not like this cookie cutter or simple answer. I have had couples who felt that, and sometimes both of them are Christian and one feels like I'm really, you know, in my Christian bag, and my spouse or my partner is not on my level in terms of my faith. So I've seen that as well. And the questions that we really have to ask ourselves are, okay, how important is that for me? Is it important for us as individuals, or is this more so around the children? Right? Because sometimes we're like, well, how do we raise our children? But we would be fine if it was just us.
Right.
And so if it's a children thing, then you really have to have a conversation about where you're open to raising the children and what that looks like in terms of your spirituality and your religious differences. If it's more so the two of you, what is it about? Is it that you want somebody to pray with you? Is it that you feel like in that aspect you don't have intimacy? Is it that you feel like you have certain beliefs about morality and how someone should walk through the world, and your partner is not doing that because they have different beliefs? Like, what is it that's the actual issue for you? Because just someone being of a different religion isn't really enough. That's not really the meat of the issue. And so you have to get like, what is that thing for you? And for everybody, it's different. I've had couples have been like, well, I just want to pray with this person. You know what I mean? And we're not praying together. I said, well, prayer can look differently, right? What if it did look different in terms of, because they're spiritual, what if you still prayed, or if you're a Muslim and Christian or Jew and whatever, there's prayer going on either way. You may pray different, you may pray separately and more specifically to your religious base, but are there ways that you can still pray together, right? And so then you start to look at, can we brainstorm? Can we find certain solutions? What might be the harmony for your relationship? And so we get into it if that's the case. But we have, and there are definitely couples who have definitely made that work, who have kind of said, I didn't realize the rigidity I was dealing with in this relationship.
Right.
And so I'm open right now to being open to looking at how this can work. And they have. They've been on the path to making that work. I'm trying to see, I don't think I've personally dealt with it to a point where they're like, because of our religious differences, we can't be together. I've seen that in my life, but not with couples that I've worked with.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Cause I would think that more so that people would just say, okay, yeah, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, based on their families, cause there's family pressure, I'm sure.
That's a big thing.
Yes.
Family. Yes.
We're bringing the family.
Families get involved.
Yes. That's a whole different.
That girl, we don't have
expectations. She's like, I can't even.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
I'm putting my boundary out.
How much time?
That's a whole different episode.
She said, right. Offline, offline lady.
Best part two.
Next time, we'll go deeper.
But yeah, for sure. But that family part is real, but you still have to ask yourselves the same questions, because there's that you're marrying into the families, or you're in a relationship with a family as well. It's true to an extent, but to an extent, you're marrying that person. There are plenty of people married that don't have the best relationship with others in their families, because not for lack of trying, but because of certain differences or personality clashes and things like that.
Right.
And then you have to ask yourself, am I okay with that? Is that a deal breaker for me? You can be family oriented. Maybe that person just doesn't like you for some reason, you know, and you can't change their opinion. This is, you know, so the partner that you have chosen, is that the relationship that you're willing to work on? Is that worth it to you? And I would say, if the issue is the religious differences, once you have the conversation with your partner, have the conversations with them. This is, you know, this is where we're coming from with this. This is the love that we have, the care that we have for each other. This is what we've come to and what we're open to trying together, to grow spiritually together, even though we come from different spiritual or religious backgrounds. And then just try to help them understand. They don't have to be in it, but that might at least open their eyes as well, you know, because they might just be coming from one perspective, tunnel vision, you know. So it's layered with other folks, but I would say that hopefully that's helpful, you know. But start with you and the partner having the conversation first. Mm-hmm. Don't go to all the family members, give their advice, and then bring that back in. And yeah. You know, yeah, start in-house and then kind of branch out as a team, like as a partnership, where you've already gained the understanding, and so that you're not moved by other people's experiences, because you feel like you've already had the conversation and created it. You're not as moved. You're kind of like, we've had this discussion, I feel good about this, and so now I'm just sharing it with you, kind of what we've come up with and what we're open to.
Yeah, and I feel like, based on my own experiences and this conversation, that a lot of being in a relationship is knowing what you want and who you are. So what are you willing to accept? What are deal breakers for you? Because there's times in relationships where I'm like, I guess that's okay. And then now when I look back, I'm like, actually, that was a big problem, that I was going with the flow, mm-hmm. and I could have saved myself some heartache. Yeah. So now when I'm dating, I'm trying to be really intentional about, I don't like that. Even if it's a small thing, like, I'm not okay with that. And they could still be a good person for someone else, yes. but not for me.
Right. Like, for someone else.
Right. And that's fine. I think that's, you know, that's what it should be. That's what dating is about, when you're dating, not just to have fun, but, you know, we talked about this, when you're dating to find, you know, a partnership that you feel really good about and connected to. So, yeah, it's fine to be like, not for me. That's okay. On to the next one. Yeah.
Right, but when you're younger sometimes, it's like, oh, well, I should give him a chance.
Oh, for sure.
You don't have to do all that. It's okay.
We're so insecure right. in our young 20s.
Yes.
That we just make so many mistakes.
Child. And I was with my man in my young 20s, so we figuring out together.
How does that feel? Like you said, your 20s were really in a relationship.
I know, right? I didn't even get to, you know, be out here in these streets, y'all. I didn't even. Never mind. I hear my friends talking like, oh, that's what she was doing. But it was unexpected, but I embraced it. I was very, I wouldn't say I was picky, but I was definitely particular. I kind of still, even with my insecurities, like you were saying, Erica, growing up, I definitely had my stuff. I don't know. There was still this confidence that said, nope, not you, you know what I mean? Or I don't want to deal with that. Because I dated before, well, in college, because like I said, I grew up Muslim, y'all, and wasn't no dating when I was in high school, and really not in college, but I went away, so you couldn't tell me nothing. I dated, but I didn't claim anyone before him. You know, he was really different, and I was I was in that stage. I was like 23 and talking to my girlfriend, like, I'm never going to find anybody. No, at 23, it sounds ridiculous. Because I'm like, I dated all through college and I didn't find anybody. So when I found him and he was just different, it was like, oh, okay, this is how someone could deal. And it was just easy. And it felt like we had known each other forever and it was comfortable and he felt the same way. And so, yeah, I mean, it kind of organically happened. I didn't know what the future was going to hold. Like, I didn't know he was going to be my husband necessarily when I met him. I just knew, like, oh, I really like this cat. You know, we can, we can do some things. We can hang out, you know? And we did. And I mean, I ended up falling in love with him and he with me, and we're long distance for 2 years because I went to graduate school and we made it through that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, you know what I mean? I think you're my person, you know what I mean? I found my person kind of early, but it's cool, you know? And I feel blessed about that too, because we've been able to grow together. I have worked with couples who were together since high school, like high school sweetheart.
Yeah. It's such a long time.
It's a long time, and it's a challenge if you don't grow together. If you don't grow separately and together, it can be challenging. You really got to do some work, because when you're 37, you're not the same person you were when you're 16.
Not at all.
Or even when you were 22 or 25, like, you know,
yesterday,
yesterday, like, you got to keep getting to know the person. You got to keep getting to know each other. You can't assume, because we've known each other for this long, since we were 16 in high school, that I know you inside and out. You continuously have to be genuinely curious about your partner, because your partner is growing and evolving just like you are. And so if you're not keeping in some awareness of that, it can be challenging for folks who've been in a relationship for a very long time.
And to your point about, you were talking about how you got started in your relationship and then went on to get married. I have two friends who just recently got married. So what do you say to people who are just starting in their marriage, the newlyweds? What should they keep in mind before they get to the point of maybe needing
help? Right. Okay, two friends that just got married. First off, congratulations. I love it. I love weddings and marriage. I'm here for it. I love when you find your person. I would say anchor to why you chose that person in the first place. Take that first year to be really intentional about your marriage, even if things feel like they're great, right? And so feed your marriage something, you know, even if it is reading books. If you feel like you're good, you know what I mean? Communication is solid. Even if it's reading books and things like that. And don't be afraid to pivot if you need to shift and change some things. You guys have gotten into a rhythm and it's working, and then now it's not working. It's okay to change it, right? And so, you know, there's going to be an ebb and flow in your relationship, and that's okay. Don't be afraid of conflict. It's natural. We all have it. We all go through it. And it's meant to move through, you know, if you do have conflict, right? And so, when you do, when you have conflict, it's normal. Mm-hmm. So anchor to why you're together, why you chose each other. Be really intentional about that first year in your marriage and in your relationship, because you're setting the foundation and those habits. Be honest with yourself about who you are and where you need to grow as an individual. You know, you don't stop being an individual because you're in a marriage. And I think we forget that, because the songs and the people and the streets told us that we become one, which I get in theory, but also in reality, you don't. You're a partnership, but you're still individuals. It's more like ingredients in a salad than, you know, in a soup. So stay true to yourself and what it is that you need, expressing your needs. Yeah, and be intentional about that first year and just anchor to why you chose each other.
Thank you. I'm going to send this episode directly
to you. Yay! So they can have it. And have fun!
There's a special message
here. Yeah.
And then on the opposite of that, because me and Destiny are both single.
Okay.
Do you have any advice for us that are looking for marriage in the future? Like maybe something we should any advice that you can give to us?
Yeah, I love that you two are friends. That doesn't even answer your question right off the bat, but
I'm glad you're both single together.
Stay with me. But I say that because as two single ladies, women who are of the mindset of already being aware of, you know, dealing with making sure that you're okay, your wellness, you know, is good, and being discerning, like you were saying, Destiny, earlier, like, look, maybe in my 20s, I would have went for that, just went with the flow for a few months. But now I'm like, I know what it is that I want and that I need, and I can feel that. And I think that's important. And, you know, if you guys are of that same mindset, you know, even keeping each other aware of that as you're dating new people. But I think also when you're single, being realistic in the sense that that person is going to come with stuff just like you do. And it's more so, how can you work out your stuff? I knew that I felt even clearer that Austis was the one for me when we had our first disagreement. Because he didn't run and he didn't cuss me out and he didn't like dismiss me. And, you know, he was mad. And I was mad. And we might have had to hang up the phone and call each other back. But it wasn't like we're running for the hills. We listened to each other after the fact. And so there will be stuff and you will have stuff. Mm-hmm. But is this somebody who's open and willing to work through the stuff? Is this somebody mm-hmm. who, like me, is comfortable working on themselves in some way, shape, or form? And we're all different, you know, so you're not looking at some necessarily somebody doing the same exact way that you are. They're growing, you're growing at different paces, period. But are you at least committed to the growth? So asking yourself that question, and then when it makes sense, having those conversations with your potential partner and, you know, and seeing where their head is too.
Love that. Nice. Thank you. We're gonna take that, receive it. I receive it. And when I find someone, you know, shout out to you.
Yay! Yes. I'm so excited. Yes. I'll be like sending an email.
You can come to the wedding. Okay. I'm already getting myself married off. Put it into the universe.
Yes. Yeah. From both of you. You seem amazing women. You know what I mean? You're gonna attract a person who appreciates that and appreciates you.
So are there anything that we haven't asked, any pieces of wisdom that you want to give that we didn't cover today?
I want so many pieces of wisdom.
Like, I have a million
things, right? But ultimately, I think we hit some of the biggies. You guys asked really great questions. I think making sure that hopefully the takeaway is starting with you, asking yourself certain questions, being honest with yourself first, because if we're lying to ourselves, we can't be honest with our partners and we're not going to have that intimacy, because that's not just sex, right? Intimacy is that connection and that closeness you feel with that person that can be expressed through physical affection and sex, but it is not sex alone. It is an umbrella. And so if you want to have that connected, intimate relationship, being honest with yourself and being honest with your partner and giving yourself some grace, because you're going to mess up. Like, even I will default to behavior at times where I'm like, oh, no, I'm stressed. I probably should have reined that in, you know.
Right.
But because I'm habituated to take responsibility for my stuff, I'm going to do that. And it's usually squashed pretty quickly. Like, I'm not going weeks without talking to my man. I'm not going weeks on the silent treatment, but I know that that's some people's norm. And if that's your norm, know that it doesn't have to be, right? You don't have to be in a situation where you feel like you can't talk to that person and you don't feel comfortable. We talked about this earlier, talking to that person. So pause, take a beat, be real with yourself, be able to acknowledge kind of where the gaps are in your relationship so that you can start to take the steps to fill them. And forget about the stigma that if you need help, that means everything is falling apart. If you acknowledge that we all need help, like, I don't even know why that's a thing. Like, if you have an issues,
It's like, I got it.
We all have
all kind of issues.
Come on now. We all are in it. And it's not even your fault. This is why I wrote that book. You talk about Erica, what your mama didn't tell you about marriage. We were not taught to how to communicate mm-hmm. with someone, another whole person going through right. life at their own pace. And now you're also right. trying to do life together. That is not easy. That's not always simple, right? You're going to clash. Life is going to come at you. You know, you're going to lose a job. You're going to gain a child. You're going to go from one car to two. Your bank account's going to have $3. It's going to have $300,000. Like, there's things that are going to happen. So I think just being kind of aware of that, giving grace and being like, yo, I'm like every other couple. You are not alone. You are not alone. I'm not even going to break into the song, but you know what was in my head. But you're not alone. And so if you need support, don't feel bad or shame about needing it. You are empowered and taking the reins over your own life and relationship. And so that is amazing. And I applaud you.
Beautiful. Yes. Perfect. And I totally agree. And how you were talking about the book, some of us don't know. Some of us haven't seen certain relationships and we don't even know where to start. Yeah. We think, oh, I'm doing pretty well until you really dissect
yeah.
it. So thank you for all the tools that you have given us. I mean, even just on this podcast. But can you talk about the other tools that you offer in terms of you are a marriage coach? I think you have The Marriage Culture, which is a membership.
Yeah.
So can you just let us know yes. about all the things?
Yes, I'm super excited about it. Because the marriage culture came about because I know that there's kind of gaps in the in-between, right? There's like, we just want to be intentional about our marriage. What can we do? Intentional about our relationship. What can we do? Or if you're newly engaged or engaged, or even if you're in a serious relationship, what can we do? There's, you know, it's like most things are out there because maybe you're feeling like you're falling apart. Or if you go to a workshop here and there, it can feel like sparse. And so I'm trying to fill a gap that I didn't really see filled. And so the marriage culture is really a marriage coach in your pocket. It is designed to fold into your life. It's a membership where you get regular 30-second to 5-minute nuggets that are specific mindset shifts or actions to take in your relationship or across the spectrum, the same kind of things that I deal with my more one-on-one or immersion clients and couples. And you have it here in this space. We get to meet once a month as well and chat through some things. And yeah, it's like a gym membership for your marriage. You don't have to leave your house. You know what I'm saying? It's right there. If you're like, something's keeping you up at night, you don't have to go to Google. You can go to the mirror poster.
Right. Right. You're like, I'm talking
right.
to you.
I'm talking to you. Google doesn't know you. Like, generic advice.
It feels like it does. When yeah. I'm typing late at night.
That's me. It's giving you the same advice as giving Erica. No matter. It's the same advice
to the
Maple who's 65.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. I promise you, that's the first thing. I've done that so many times in my relationship.
Girl, I mean, I get it.
So sad.
I get it. But yeah, that's really, I'm super excited about it because that's really where it is. And, you know, I work with couples for longer and immersion and things like that, but that's a great place to start. It's month to month. It's not, you know, this huge time investment or, you know, resource investment or financial investment, but you can get started. You can be intentional about your relationship. And that's why I created for you to be able to do that and have that at your disposal. So yeah, if you're interested, it's themarriageculture.com. I did not spell it funny. It is spelled all the correct letters. And you can just learn more.
Okay, themarriageculture.com, and then your book, where can they get it?
Oh, yeah, you can get that on Amazon, What Your Mama Didn't Tell You About Marriage. There's two editions. There's the initial edition, and then there's edition for, like, when you're entrepreneurs. So I have a few extra chapters in there because that comes with its own challenges if you're in a relationship with an entrepreneur. And so I give some specific insight around that. And I keep it fun. I told you guys I was a creative writer. So if you're any Martin fans out there, it's kind of like storytelling with very concrete, practical advice. And so I don't want people to be bored. I want to be a page turner.
Awesome. So can you let everyone know again, socials and where they can find you, your personal website?
So I definitely am on Instagram, @ImaniAisha on Instagram and on all socials. And my website is ImaniAisha.com, and that's AIESHAH. Okay, we're just talking about why there's so many vowels and extra letters in my in Aisha, but that is what it is. So ImaniAisha.com. And you can always drop me a line, DM me. I really do. I'm not going to like push you into anything. And I'm being real because people are like, uh-oh, DM her and then what? If you have I mean, I'm just like having conversation with folk. And if I can help and can support, letting you know how I can do that, you can always RSVP yay or nay, right? But if you're in a space where that's something that you want and you know that you need, but if you're just like, hey, I just want to drop you a line and chat, let me know as you let Destiny and Erica know how you know, what resonated with you, if anything, from this conversation, because you girls are amazing.
We really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for reaching out and for having me. This has been great. I wish you both nothing but the most success and abundance with this and with your platform. I love you guys' friendship and everything that you're bringing to the forefront for your listeners and keeping them in mind and putting your own personal touches on it and sharing of your lives as well. I'm here for it. So I'll be listening in as I think you guys are doing amazing. And
thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Imani.
Bye.
Be sure to subscribe and follow us on our socials at Where I Am Podcast. If you want us to discuss a specific topic, you can also email us at whereiampodcast@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to share and leave a review.